We continue this morning on our journey through the Bread of Life discourse in the Gospel of St. John. And the mood of the crowd takes a definite turn here. As Jesus sharpens his identity, his words become less palatable to those who just prior wanted to crown him as their wonder bread king. Food has always played a major role in the Holy Scriptures. It was an apple in the garden that led to our expulsion. There was the life-sustaining manna in the wilderness, the miraculous bread and water that sustained Elijah in the desert, the bread cooked over dung by Ezekiel as a symbol of the people's defilement, the loaves and the fishes of the miraculous feeding that appears in all four Gospels, as well as the loaves of the prophet Elisha. Then there's Peter and his vision of a sheet jock full of tasty animals and God's command to kill and to eat. There are countless laws about what to eat and what not to eat, how to cook your food, and how to eat it. In our reading this morning, the crowd isn't ready for what is about to happen. They are not prepared for Jesus' claim that he is the chef's special on the menu today. They are not prepared for this new Moses to claim to be more than just a prophet. They are not prepared that in place of a wonder bread king stands the wondrous king of the universe. They are not prepared to admit that they might not have God all figured out, and that this would drastically alter their identity and their understanding of who they are. This is just too much for the crowd. So they push back. "This cannot be," they say. They try to supplant his proclamation of descending from heaven, his being sent from the Father, by placing him in Nazareth via Mary and Joseph. If Jesus is just some backwoods, small-town, itinerant preacher, then they can shoot holes in his claims of equality with God and his promises of eternal life. By tethering Jesus to his lowly upbringing, the crowd clearly attempts to raise questions about his identity and thus seeks to undermine his authority. Luther explicates this in a sermon from 1531. "Here, in addition, it is quite a poor person who speaks of an eternal food, for Christ hadn't a foot of ground of his own. If some great king had made such a claim, it would have had at least a little plausibility. But now, Christ says, what all people in the whole world can do amounts to nothing. I myself will give you a different food, which will abide forever. I too would have said, where did this fool come from? Did you ever hear a greater fool? A beggar without a penny to his name. And he wants to do better than all the emperors, kings, and princes on earth." But Jesus shrugs off the doubting crowd. He will not be pigeonholed. He doubles down on his claim and not only declares once again that he is the source of eternal light, eternal life, but also its substance. It is here that Jesus rebukes those who try to undermine his authority, those who question his identity. Jesus, by claiming to be the bread of life, the one who gives forever life to those who partake of this bread, holds no punches. He claims to be the source. His claiming to be the source of life can only mean one thing: that he is not just the Son of Man, that he is not just the Son of the Father. He, Jesus Christ, is God. And if it is true that no one can give life other than God, then Jesus' claim to be the bread of life will drastically reorientate our faith primarily on the person of Christ Jesus. It is this reorientation of our lives, I believe, that gives us the most trouble. As we saw with the crowd and their inability to wrap their heads around just who Jesus was and what this meant for them and their understanding of themselves, I believe we struggle with how Jesus knocks us off of our pedestals, pushes us off of our axis, how we stop because of Jesus. How we stop being the most important person in our lives. To quote Paul Tillich, Jesus is to be the very ground of our being. This revelation of Jesus points to the fact that the entirety of our lives is to be erected on his life. But we are so used to making ourselves the center of our being. I believe the axis of the universe runs directly through my head, and the rest of y'all just orbit around me slowly. If we are honest with ourselves, each and every one of us views the world in the exact same way. It is the way in which we understand the world, the way in which we make decisions, what is good and what is bad, in relation to how it directly affects us. This, my brothers and sisters, is the very definition of sin. So Jesus says that he is the bread come down from heaven, that he is the very bread of life, that whomever eats of his flesh and drinks of his blood, in receiving his life into ours, will live forever. Here, Jesus is saying that no, the axis of existence goes through me, and your life is dependent upon mine. It is clear in the sixth chapter of St. John's Gospel that Jesus is making himself the focus. It's not about Moses. It's not about manna. It's about the very Son of Man come down from God the Father for the life of the world. And that life is grounded and nourished by Jesus Christ himself. Since the focus is Jesus, it seems only appropriate that we have no say in the matter in regards to Jesus' salvific work and who is drawn to him by the Father. This makes perfect sense because the life of faith is one where God drags us to God's self. It's not that we come kicking or screaming. Then again, perhaps it is. Because we had a real chance back in the garden. We came this close to becoming gods ourselves. We aren't so quick to loosen our grip on the fruit of that tree. As Luther alluded to, we are not so easily sold by some beggar's promise. We need more convincing. But as it turns out, it's not exactly how God does business. So instead, just as the bread was gathered up in the feeding of the 5,000, all will be gathered up in Christ. All will be drawn to him through the cross. All will be given into his hand from and through the Father. For faith is not simply a human choice to be made, but it is the activity of the Father drawing people to Jesus. We must be dragged by God into faith, just as the disciples dragged the overflowing nets into the boat. There is truly no other way to come. This is the bread that comes down from heaven, so that one may eat of it and not die. I am the living bread that came down from heaven. Whoever eats of this bread will live forever. Jesus is speaking of himself. He's speaking of the benefits of believing and abiding in him, of consuming him and making him part of us and us a part of him. So that, my brothers and sisters, that we may have life, his life, our life in him. Amen.